Now, back to more.
Carmen and Yurko.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Happy hump day. It's Carmen and Yurko.
Turn it up.
Oh, it's mid-July, Yurko. It's hot out there. It's sticky. Enjoy the weather, everybody.
That's right, because guess what? Autumn is coming.
What?
Winter is coming. Autumn
don't
is coming.
Start with the winter
no.
Coming, stop it.
Oh, no, you're closer to Christmas. You're closer to this Christmas than you are last Christmas,
I know.
Guys. So guess what's coming right around the corner?
Winter is
shorter
coming.
Shorter days. I'm looking for leaves to change. And you know what that says? That says autumn. It says football. Those are the two things it says to me.
I say this all the time. I get very conflicted this time of year because we start to get pretty jazzed up for the NFL season.
Yeah.
I love the NFL season. We all do.
We all do. I love NFL.
I love it personally. We love it for our profession.
I think people get pumped up.
Yes.
About the NFL.
And I love the NFL season. I love the fall. I do. Like, I love September and
kids
October in
back
Chicago.
To school, Carm.
Oh, I like
finally
the weather.
Got a little peace,
and,
you know?
But the problem is, it's like, we're a week away from camp, but it also reminds you that, oh, my God, it's mid-July, and kids will be back in school already in a month, which that is a good thing. You're right. And I don't know. I always get a little conflicted. I'm like, oh, I want summer to last. I want to drive down the street and see the trees in bloom. In green everywhere, and the sun out shining, and sweating when I go for a run outside, and not be all bundled up. Like I want the best of both worlds, Yurko. I know I can't have them.
Well, you know what you got? You got yourself about a 5 to 6 week period here before we get to September, before we get to the greatest days, Labor Day, celebrating all women who've had kids before.
The
Labor Day. That's exactly what that day's all about. All right. And 6 weeks until that point, you know, A, the college football season will be upon us, right?
That's right.
There'll be college football being played. Eastern Illinois goes up to Northern Illinois to open up the slate. My alma mater, Eastern Illinois.
Yeah?
Yeah, going up to the Husky Land to go play them up in DeKalb. Might have to make that trip.
You should.
Go see the boys. Go see the fellas. Why not? New coach down there. Good things will be happening. But there we are. College football will be upon us. Professional football will be the Thursday away.
Yep.
And is there any greater schedule in September, October, November, December, and now into January because football is so fantastic. NFL, Thursday night game, Sunday game, Monday game. Is there any greater way to celebrate than with the NFL just giving you game after game after game, and then they give you 9 hours of love on Sunday? 9 hours of love.
You know me, I don't love the Thursday night game. I just don't. I think it's bad for the players. I think it's bad. But it's football. It's football on a Thursday night. It's another one of those, like, it's a push and pull. It's a sometimes I love it, sometimes I'm like, oh, this is terrible.
Are you over the 17th game thing?
Well, no, there's nothing to get over.
Are you done being worried about the players? Because when the 18th game comes, I'm not going to be worried about the players either.
Maybe worried about the players is the wrong way to put it. I think it's a little unfair. I think the short turnaround certainly doesn't have the best interest of the player in mind. That's what I think. I said it the minute it happened. I think teams are starting. By the way, I was right about it. The first couple years of Thursday Night Football, it was putrid. It was awful. I think teams have sort of figured out the rhythms of it now, and they're more used to it. But exactly what I predicted happened those first couple of years with Thursday Night Football. And now it's a little bit more settled, and I think teams understand how to attack those weeks a little bit better. But I don't think it's to the detriment probably of the player. I mean, and now you could say, well, what do you care? You watch them bash their heads in together every Sunday anyway.
I'm saying, isn't the game a detriment to the player?
Yeah, no, it is. It kind of is.
Yeah.
It kind
of
is.
Of course. The minute you play, you're less and less likely to be as physically dominant as you once were.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're breaking yourself down over the course of time.
I don't know. I think the football's getting better, like I said, because they figured it out. I thought for a while there it was awful. A lot of those games were like almost impossible to watch, and we don't say that much about football. But trust me, go back and if you're misremembering, go back and read or watch. Try to go back and watch some of those early. I don't know why anybody would or where you'd find it, but those first few seasons of those Thursday games were terrible.
I will argue of the 16 games that you get over the course of a weekend, that you could probably look at 6 to 7 of them and say these are terrible football games. You can.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, in some years you get the schedule where the Thursday night games are just absolutely fantastic.
You just get wrapped up in it on Sunday because you're tracking your bets, you're watching your fantasy players, you know, like you kind of get lost in it.
Right.
This is why football is great. I'm telling you, like this is why it is so great and we're so into it. It's because even if there are 6 to 10 games that are bad, like Yurko said, you kind of get lost and wrapped up and it doesn't matter. You're enjoying yourself.
I will also tell you, another reason why Saturday and Sundays are great in the fall is because if you wake up at 6 a.m., you probably catch 2-3 EPL soccer games.
Yeah, you double dip.
In the morning. So you get there, you get your soccer action, you get your soccer fix, take a little bit of a break, have a little bit of an early lunch, kind of a brunch, breakfast-lunch combo.
Yeah.
And then get set for the weekend. Get set for the NFL action that you want to see or the college action that you want to see.
The Bears start camp a week from today. Report day is next Tuesday. The first practice will be next Wednesday. We're a month away from our football fest. This is, if you're a longtime listener and a fan, and if you've, you know, been to the old fantasy football convention, we're carrying on the tradition in a way, but we're rebranding it, and it's going to be more of a celebration of football and not just fantasy. So we're a month away. Field Yates will be coming back into town to do his thing. People love Field's presentation the way they used to love John Clayton. And his
professor,
my God.
The professor used to do his radio show here.
He did. And his presentation was incredible, and the fans loved that forever. And Field is carrying on that tradition. Field will join us today in about 30 minutes. Field Yates from ESPN will join us to talk about the NFL. We'll talk Bears. We'll maybe even ask him a few fantasy questions as people do start to gear up for their leagues. I'm assuming everybody's got their dates down now for their draft and things like that, because we're getting closer and closer. If you would like to join us at Football Fest this year, it is going to be at the Hard Rock Casino in Hammond, Indiana. It is going to be a fantastic day. Tickets are free. We do ask you to sign up. That's the only thing you have to do. Go to ESPNFootballFest.com. That's ESPNFootballFest.com and just sign up. That's it. There's going to be fantasy. There's going to be Bears Talk with Waddle and Cap and Hoodie. There's going to be sports gambling with me and Black and Abdallah. Peggy and Dion are going to broadcast live. There's going to be food and fun. I'm telling you, it's just going to be an awesome time at Hard Rock Casino. It's Saturday, August 27th, everybody. Saturday, August 20th. I have something else going on the 27th.
August 20th.
Forgive me. It is Saturday.
Doors open at 10.
August 20th. Doors open at 10. That's why we're doing Field today, because we're a month away. So make sure you go on. And I don't want to say get your tickets, because, there are...
Sign up for the event.
Sign up.
You got to register.
It's free.
You got to register for the event.
All you have to do is go register. So please make sure you do that at ESPN Football.
It's at a casino. Technically, you could make money on this.
I'm just saying,
you could go, you could gamble, you could make money.
100%.
This could be a profitable Saturday.
I do plan on spending some time at the table when we're done with
the blackjack table. Just don't sit to my left.
When we're done with our stuff, guys, I do plan on hitting the blackjack table.
Hell yeah.
And I'll be in Vegas the weekend before.
How about
that? You know I'm going to be like, next Saturday, right back in a casino, baby. I'm going to be 100%.
Have nothing left.
I'm in Vegas the weekend before. I'm like, nothing left. Bite your tongue. The plan is always come back with money, Yurko. Mm-hmm. I know it doesn't always work out that way, but that's the plan.
My plan is always come back even. If I come back even, then I'm like, all right, I didn't lose any money.
I kind of won. Yeah.
It'll be my first time in Vegas when I go in October in 6 years.
Wow, it's a long time.
Yeah.
I haven't been since 2019, which is forever for me. But the stupid pandemic, got in the way, and so I'm finally going back. I can't wait. 6 years. October's a good time to go, too. The weather's really nice in October. You got football. There's nothing like watching games in Vegas on Sunday.
I'm playing four rounds of golf.
Dude.
Oh, I'm going out playing Cascada. Number of nice courses.
Look at you. And will you be there for NFL Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, playing golf, or will you still watch a little bit?
No. I'll be watching football.
Dude.
Wake up early, bet the EPL.
This is a trip for you, golf and football on a Sunday in Vegas?
Nice. Huh. That's the way it should be.
My God. I might pack me in your suitcase.
I'll pack you somewhere, kid.
I know you will.
Yeah. My toiletry kit, right where you belong. Right next to my used prophylactics.
That's disgusting. Please, I mean, used. What are we saving the used ones
for? Why are you saving them? What are you doing?
He's a collector.
It's from the Blues Brothers. Come on, when he gave his stuff back.
Yeah.
One prophylactic, one used prophylactic. Come on, boys. I know I'm quoting a movie that happened 50 years ago, but you guys got to be on the ball.
We do
here.
Have to be a little bit more on the ball.
You got
to
be on the ball here.
I shouldn't let that one slip. Yeah.
Yeah, keep fighting that fight, though.
Yeah. Good luck to you guys.
43 years ago. No, it is one of the iconic Chicago movies,
absolutely,
though. That if you're a person from Chicago, Ferris Bueller's Day Off,
yes.
Thief, if you've never seen Thief, you should see. I think it really features the city very nicely. And the Blues Brothers.
Dark Knight's up there.
But Dark Knight's great, too. I'm not arguing against Dark Knight.
Does Dark Knight count, though, when it's not, like, supposed to be Chicago? Are we still counting that? Or
they're calling
it's
it
not
Gotham.
A Chicago-centric movie.
Or the ones that are based in Chicago but filmed in Toronto.
I feel like I should, you know what we should do today? We should do, like, the five-pack of movies that are Chicago-centric. That
you know what? Something my ex-roommate did one time? They went on a little, like, a site hunt.
Mm.
Like movie sites, Ferris Bueller's house.
Yeah.
And you know, that. Right. They went up there. They did a couple other things where in Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Where yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I used to go to Emmett's all the time.
Chronicle, take a picture of it. Yeah.
I used to drink like a treasure hunt.
Kind of like a treasure hunt where you go to all these different places and you do that, but with the movie theme.
I heard Emmett's was closing, and then someone said, and I posted something on social about it, and they said, no, it's not really closing. They're just changing. I don't know. Because I said,
they're rebranding.
It's a sad day. Yeah, he can't close Emmett's. Emmett's is his class. That's where George Clooney meets Matt Damon in Ocean's 11. Yeah, you can do, like, The Fugitive and all kinds of, like, Running Scared.
Well, yeah, well, that's the point.
There's tons of great movies. You can do
whatever you want. Yeah, with all the movies that have been filmed in Chicago, if you want to kill a Saturday or a Sunday, you know?
Yeah,
four or five groups, couples, you know, that kind of thing.
We have some more football stuff that we want to talk to everybody about today.
You know, you put the swinging aside for 1 week.
Put the swing on the side?
The swinging, I said.
Oh, the swinging.
The keys in the basket type situation.
My goodness.
Put that aside for 1 weekend and go do something else.
We have some other football stuff we want to talk about, and we'll chat with Field Yates. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, running backs list is out for Madden, and Yurko and I don't, you know, we poo-poo running backs a lot, but it's still fun to talk about the rankings and just to see. There's some other big picture NFL stuff, including ESPN NFL Nation's future rankings of the NFL franchises. You're not going to like where the Bears are. We can spend some time on that coming up next. And like I said, we'll talk to Field at about 12:35. If you want to join us today, thoughts on last night's All-Star game, thoughts on the second half for the White Sox, football. How you feeling with football being a month away or just over? 312-332-3776 is the phone number. So ring us up. We are live in our old National Bank State Street studio. Watch us on Twitch today and every day. Just go to twitch.tv or download the app and search ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So every year, the crew at ESPN, all the NFL guys, Yurko, a lot of the analysts, the experts, former players, executives, stuff like that, that they have on the payroll, they do this future rankings thing, right?
Yeah.
They try to, like, project out.
How many years?
The next 3 years. NFL future power rankings, 2022 projections for all 32 teams for the next three seasons. The team they have with an overall score of 90.4 of being the best over the next three seasons, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that'd be easy. It'd be a young quarterback that's established himself. Sure.
That's exactly why number two is Kansas City.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Young
makes a lot of sense.
Great coach.
AFC.
Yeah.
The proof is in the pudding there.
Number three, Green Bay Packers. It's actually a tie for three between the Green Bay Packers and the Los Angeles Rams, your guy Les Snead.
Well, if it's only 3 years you're looking at, then, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is still going to be there. Stafford's going to be there. But things will start getting a little squirrely in L.A. because you've got a 31-year-old Aaron Donald now.
Yes, you do.
So how long does he continue?
Who just got paid.
Yes, he just did get paid. How long does he continue on his run of excellence?
Mm. Number five, the Los Angeles Chargers, Yurk. Because, again,
young quarterback. Yeah. Their coach is, still trying to, establish himself.
Not to be the smartest guy in the room all the time,
right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty good. I think he'll get it figured
that
out.
That last game was a little bit of a head-scratcher, but that's all right.
Six, the Bengals. with that offense.
Young quarterback again. Notice the theme. Young quarterback that's established himself.
You notice the theme, Yurko? Yeah. Do people notice?
Except for the aged one. You know, Stafford,
much above.
Yeah.
And Stafford.
Right. But still quality football teams.
Baltimore Ravens, 7.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think you get through tiers. You got to the Baltimore Ravens, and then it's like, well, maybe. Maybe not.
Still a young quarterback that's pretty dynamic.
They're trying to, dynamic quarterback trying to go back to being dynamic again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's hurt a little bit last year, which affected things.
Dynamic quarterback trying to get back to being as good as he once was.
Right. Tampa, 8. Not a young quarterback, obviously. A very old quarterback.
Well, that's
who's still
a team
great.
That, whenever Tom decides it's over, that their run is going to probably be over.
Yeah, probably. Colts, 9. Older quarterback, Browns.
Well, they haven't been able to figure their quarterback thing out at all.
Well, when Andrew Luck retired on them in the last preseason game,
yes,
it was kind of a bummer for the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah. They've just put like Band-Aids over it, right? You had Phillip Rivers. You knew it was going to be Phillips last year. They went to the playoffs. They tried. Who did they try after Phillip Rivers? Guys, wasn't there one player in between there? COVID year. Who'd they try? Brissett?
Was it?
Am I crazy?
No, and Jacoby? Was it?
Wasn't it? But didn't they try somebody stopgap in 2020 and COVID? Because Rivers would have been there in 2019. Or maybe my timeline's off.
The Colts have had, I think, 5 different starting quarterbacks in the last 5 seasons or something like
that. Something like that. I think Chris is right. Because I thought, didn't Luck retire after 2018, right as 2019 was starting? So Luck started in 18. Then in 19, they like, well, we need somebody. Let's get Phillip. And he was okay. They went to the playoffs. Then COVID happened, and I believe they bounced around between a couple of their own guys, if I'm not mistaken. Last year, they tried Carson Wentz. Now they're going to try Matt Ryan. So they've been on the whirlwind, you know, when all of a sudden Andrew Luck up and retired on them.
It was Scott Tolzien in 2017, so Luck must have been hurt.
It was hurt, that's right.
Luck in 2018, Brissett in 2019, Rivers in 2020,
okay, so that's
and
it.
Wentz last year.
So I just had it flip-flop. So Brissett, and then they did the Rivers thing, and then they did the Wentz thing, and now they're going to do the Matt Ryan thing. But they still have a really talented roster. They still have one of the best lines in football. We don't think much in terms of importance when it comes to the running back position, but they got a great running back, right? The kid can play. Jonathan Taylor can play. Yeah. And behind a great O-line, he can really play.
1,800-plus yards, 18 touchdowns rushing, 2 receiving, 300-and-some-odd yards receiving last year.
He's talented. Yeah. I mean, they've got skill there. But yeah, you got to get the quarterback thing right, and maybe Matt Ryan's got a few more really good years in him.
If you're a running back in this league, especially in Chicago, you'd love to be behind Indianapolis' offensive line.
Please. All right, so no Bears in the top 10. Listen, I'll spare you the expense. You're not going to find the Bears in the top 20. You're not going to find the Bears in the top 25. Unfortunately, you're not going to find the Bears in the top 29. The Bears check in with an overall score of 69.9. Nice. At 30th. Then the Carolina Panthers. Then the lowly Atlanta Falcons.
How do they break it down?
All right, I'll read to you.
Yeah,
give me
a little something. How they broke this down.
All right, why they're here. The Bears find themselves here after cratering in 2021. By the way, Field Yates wrote this part of the breakdown, and he'll join us coming up. Bears find themselves here after cratering in 2021 and having dispensed many resources in the past that proved ill-fated. GM, that's putting it kindly. GM Ryan Poles was hired to get this organization on track, and you can count on these facts. He will be disciplined. He will pour endless hours into the draft. The fundamental reality is that this will take time, and the Bears have an abundance of roster holes to fill. Now, you know Field has a personal, direct connection to Ryan Poles and thinks very, very highly of him, and they started scouting together, so he's believing in his guy. This is what Lewis Riddick wrote about their biggest worry, Yurko. The offensive skill position personnel, excluding receiver Darnell Mooney, is not good enough for quarterback Justin Fields to make a jump in 2022. And I expect many QBs from this draft class to do so, or from his draft class. Look at what Miami did for Tua, what Philly did for Jalen Hurts, and what the Jets did for Zach Wilson. This team could be in trouble both short and long term if it doesn't get Fields going quickly, and that starts with a better supporting cast. Do you agree?
Well, you don't have an elite receiver there. We went over the wide receiver list, and you saw Mooney at 55. I don't know where Cole Kmet fits in, but Kmet, I mean, the jump comes from better quarterback play. I've been around receivers that have struggled and then have figured it out. with experience and with time. Robert Brooks was that way. Robert Brooks wasn't productive. Okay? He wasn't. He wasn't as productive, and then he became productive. Okay? Then he had his breakout year. Antonio Freeman couldn't catch the football.
Which is amazing.
Catch the football. Mike Holmgren almost walked into the gate and told him, have a great life.
It's crazy.
Okay? And then all of a sudden, he developed into a wide receiver. So, you know, you get a quarterback in there that can throw the ball and get it to the receiver. The receivers can catch. They've caught their whole lives. Okay? The other one is Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
Was now we had Andre Rison in there. Jimmy Smith, once he got the opportunity, once he got in, became a game changer. I mean, so I've watched guys that have been cut from other teams, that have been acquired from other teams, been on practice squads of other teams, come in with a quarterback that can at least get the ball downfield, at least get you, you know, the football where you can make a play, and then all of a sudden these receivers developed into something. So I've seen it happen in front of my own eyes. So why it can't happen if Justin Fields can get guys in a position to make plays, why these professional wide receivers can't make plays, I think they can.
Like if he knows where to go with the ball, right.
They can. Yeah. They can make those plays. Now, you don't have Devontae Adams. You don't have a guy that can take a five-yard pass and turn it into a 95-yard touchdown. Okay? That you might not have. But you got professional wide receivers that can make plays for you. But it's incumbent upon the quarterback to get the ball there. And it's incumbent upon the offensive line to keep the quarterback on his feet, not on his ass all day, too.
Right, yeah. What could change for the better? This is what Jeremy Fowler wrote. Continue the two-tiered plan of staying competitive, but fortifying roster health for 2023 and beyond. Is that what the Bears are doing? A two-tiered plan of staying competitive?
Yes, I think
they don't. Nobody wants to talk about a rebuild, but I think
the reality is, how much dead money do you have? That's your reality.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have a bunch off after this year.
I mean,
without
you've got
Khalil
a ton
Mack.
Of dead money that you're accounting for.
Right.
This year is going to be a rough year. No matter what, if they get 7 wins, they get 9 wins, they get 10 wins, they get 6 wins. It's going to be a rough year. And then you're going to identify who can play or not with the people that are in place now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With Poles here, with Eberflus here, with the coaching staff here, with his scouts and his pro scouts. They're going to identify, okay, this is what we want moving forward out of this group that we brought in this year. And then this is what we have to identify and what we want as we move forward.
The Bears aren't overly talented this year, but should have, this is exactly what Yurko is saying. Fowler wrote basically the same thing. They're not talented, but they should have $100 million in cap space for next year.
Boom.
And then Seth Walder, who does the advanced analytics stuff, gave you a stat to look at, Yurk, and to track. And he's right on about this. He writes, Fields was sacked on a massive 10% of his dropbacks last year, leading the league amongst all qualified passers. His sack rate in college was at least an orange flag entering the draft. 10% is a staggering figure that has to be reversed if he's going to become a franchise quarterback. And that's not taking a shot at the O-line, necessarily. It's not. It's like Yurko said, they still get paid, too. That's a little bit of, Justin, you can't hold the ball
right,
that
can't
long.
Hold it forever.
That's
and
it.
Try to process
Thank
everything.
You.
Brian, I would also argue that 6 wins isn't exactly cratering. Like, they weren't god-awful. They won 6 games.
Well, 6-11 is not.
Okay,
I mean,
they still won 6 games. Were they the worst team in the NFL?
Yeah, no, 3 games and 2 games. That's cratering.
Cratering.
That's
like,
cratering.
I don't think they're
NFL.
As bad as the, this makes
as
them
the Texans?
Seem. Yeah.
I would argue, for as bad as they were last year, 6 wins is pretty good. They were terrible. There were multiple games where they started the game and they were immediately behind and immediately not in the position to win or succeed.
But that is pretty bad. Doesn't that make a bad season, even if you get to 6? Oh. I mean, in the NFL, you're going to probably stumble into one on accident that you're like, wait, how did they win that game? Maybe even 2?
I think they looked a lot worse than a 6-win team, but they still won 6 games.
Do you remember how bad they looked on opening night in L.A.? Do you remember how bad they looked
in the
Tampa?
Browns game?
Yeah, but
those
the Browns game. My God, Chris, thank you. The Browns game. The Tampa game.
But a team like that, they shouldn't win 6 games.
But you mentioned 2 of the best teams in the NFL, in the Bucs and the Rams.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to get their ass kicked by those teams. That's expected.
This team beat the Bengals.
They beat the Bengals. I was there. I was at the game. I walked out when they had a 3-touchdown lead. I walked out.
The Bengals.
That's where I saw Adam and Bleck sitting in front of me.
That's right. I remember that. That's amazing.
And then I waltzed out of there thinking nothing, and all of a sudden we get in the car, and it's a game.
Do you agree or disagree with the rankings? Are the Bears still going to be, one of the 3 worst teams in the league 3 seasons from now? A lot of it depends on Justin. 312-332-3776. Brian's on I-90. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. I'm calling from Chicago. I wanted to give a classic example of how much quarterback play can affect a wide receiver. Now, My example is of a wide receiver who had success before and after being on the Bears. You guys might remember him. His name was Moose. He was number 87. Moose, who everybody called, you know, Moose and Muhammad, who everybody called washed up at his, in his 3 years in Chicago, went back to Carolina and had Jake Delhomme or whatever, some Cam Newton, whoever.
Jake was probably gone at that point. I don't know.
Jake was probably gone. It was probably Cam Newton. But whatever. He had over 1,000 yards. He was like 35 years old. So, of course, a quarterback even can impact, you know, number one. And at one point, you know, a 1A, 1B guy like Musa Muhammad came here, had 3-7, or Allen Robinson.
Sure.
You know he's going to have 1,400 yards on the Rams.
Allen's never...
Even established guys can get affected by you know, Matt Nagy being weird and, you know, dysfunctional locker room and a quarterback that can't get it downfield.
Poor Allen Robinson's never had a quarterback. Brian, thanks. And I mean, like, never. And he still put up numbers. Allen Robinson should have a very good year with Sean McVay and the Rams. And
923 yards.
Yeah, that's not great.
The point is, it's not quite 1,000, though.
But it's more than he ever had with the Bears.
No.
Right?
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 758, 63, 570.
And he had more touchdowns, I think, or the same number of touchdowns as his high water. He had Rex Grossman.
Rex Grossman.
And others. Didn't Moose say this is where they go to die? I think a few wide receivers have said that. Allen Robinson might be feeling that. 312-332-3776.
Well, Robinson got out.
He got out, I know.
But he got out. Yeah.
Field Yates will join us coming up next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
A lot of us use this time of year to start getting brushed up again on the NFL season, right? Just like in February, we start getting ready for the MLB season. We're talking about all kinds of things as the calendar changes. Told you I got Warren Sharp's book. Been going through that, trying to prepare for
the NFL season.
2022, sure. Going on the NFL page at ESPN.com a lot more. Getting prepared. We were just reading to you the future rankings. Field Yates is a big part of that. We read you what he wrote about the Bears. Field's coming back to town for Football Fest. August 20th. At Hard Rock Casino.
Right.
I don't know that Field's ever not, like, totally dialed in and tuned into football, though. You know, I think it's just, it's 12 months out of the year for Field. But he'll be here again. His presentation is awesome. People love it. And he joins Carmen and Yurko now to talk football a little bit. We're a week away from the Bears starting training camp. A few teams have already gone to camp. How are you, Field? So, like, this is it for you. Like, you hit it now, and it doesn't stop until the Super Bowl ends, right?
It's the best, yes. And I got to tell you what, I can't wait for it. It's been an incredible six-ish month. Actually, tomorrow, my daughter turns 6 months old.
Oh, nice.
But I can tell you that it's been an incredible 6 months, not just because of the football offseason, but more importantly, because of her. But it has aligned with the football offseason for the most part. But it fires me up to be talking to you guys right now. We've talked a couple of times since the last regular season was over, but I don't know, it feels more real, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, but you guys are, I think we kind of have a shared calendar that we sort of view the world through two seasons, football season and not football season. And I'm excited that it's getting closer to football season.
It was a pretty wild offseason, Field. I mean, when you think about the star power that
the receivers
kind of moved around, I mean, A.J. Brown goes one, gets traded, and Tyreek Hill gets traded, and you've got Matt Ryan in Indy, and you've got Russell Wilson in the load of the AFC West. I can't remember too many NFL offseasons that featured Khalil Mack goes to the Chargers, that like featured so many big names and star players moving teams.
Seriously, we're actually going to be on NFL Live at 4 p.m. Eastern time, so 3 p.m. Chicago time today, talking about the Colts in a little bit of depth. And I made the comment that in one of our meetings that how many times has a team that acquired a former NFL MVP and a former NFL Defensive Player of the Year in the same offseason barely a footnote on the NFL offseason radar, which feels to me like where the Colts have been, right? No one's talking about the Colts right now, at least not that I have seen, at least not in great depth. It's been a wild NFL offseason, and you know, the part that we still don't know the answer to is what's going to happen to Deshaun Watson, which you can make the case that the potential Deshaun Watson suspension is as significant as any story that's taken place so far this offseason.
We just have no idea whether we're going to find out today, next week, next month, next year. At this point, I am prepared for anything.
I mean, how could it not be before the season? Could they really drag this out into...
No, I'd be stunned. I mean, it's going to be before the season. I suspect it'll be in the next couple of weeks here, but at the same time, you know, we talk about this with reporting often. It's better to be right than to be first. And I think the NFL is saying to itself, and Sue Robinson is saying to herself, and the NFLPA is saying to itself, hey, you know something? Let's make sure that we have a full and complete picture before we make a decision, because I can guarantee you this. No matter the outcome, there is going to be some sort of uproar from one side or the other. Yep. If this is a full year suspension, the NFLPA is going to go nuts, and they're going to argue, obviously, against it and say, what about the owners, right? Why aren't we holding owners accountable? Dan Snyder and others that have been in the news for the wrong reason. If this is a two-game suspension, oh, boy.
Yeah. Wow.
That's all I can say. Because if it's a short suspension, the NFL better be prepared for vitriol, unlike anything we've ever seen. But I think you can imagine what will probably be justified in terms of the public backlash of a suspension for only two games. So maybe eight games is kind of like the way to split the atom, where you can, you know, it's harsh and it's half a season or nearly half a season, but it's also, you know, it's not so harsh that the NFLPA is going to fight it tooth and nail. Maybe that's a sweet spot there, but ultimately this is a Sue Robinson decision, not a what the public believes is right and fair decision.
Is this thing set for an appeal right away anyway?
It almost feels that way, right? Because, you know, if you're the NFL, maybe I'm sort of talking myself into it right now. Maybe the eight is the number, because I just, you know, if you're the NFL and you see that number at two or four, it's like a responsibility, a public responsibility. Hey, we take stuff of this sort of, we take things related to potential sexual misconduct very seriously, right? And if a two or four game suspension for what was 24 civil lawsuits is the end result, I think the NFL would say, hold on, we're being inconsistent here, right? However, if it's 12 or 14 games, Deshaun Watson may say, hey, you know, like, well, this is a federal court, right? I mean, you know, like, this was all, like, this became civil suit. So I think this is a very, very precarious spot for both sides, that it wouldn't surprise me if this is headed for an appeal one way or the other.
And that's probably why it's taken so long. We're talking to Field Yates. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Field will be in town for Football Fest 1 month from today, Saturday, August 20th, at the Hard Rock Casino. Go to ESPNFootballFest.com to secure your spot. You don't have to buy tickets or anything, but you do have to register. It'll be free to attend, and it's all brought to you by Hooters. Let's talk about the Bears a little. We know you know Ryan Poles, and when he got the job, you came on. You gave us a great breakdown of him. You wrote a little bit about him on ESPN.com today when you guys were doing the future rankings. He turned very little draft capital into a lot. I think, what was the final count? 11, I want to say. I think he got high marks for what he did on that last day of the draft. I think there's still some questioning that's gone on about what happened early. They didn't have a first-round pick. And I get the importance of taking a guy like Kyler Gordon if you're really high on him at such an important position at 39. But there was John Metchie on the board still. And then with your second pick, you take a safety and Sky Moore was on the board, and George Pickens was on the board, and Alec Pierce was on the board. It's like, when do we know, Field? I mean, like, if, they made a mistake. Will we know early on? And did they potentially make a mistake by not trying to get more help for Justin Fields?
Yeah, this is, so I got to make sure that I preface this, because you are correct in that Ryan and I go back to our, you know, we were both hired the same year in Kansas City, so him and I have a near 15-year relationship that, you know, I think, at least I feel very grateful to have. Maybe I'll have to ask him one day if he feels the same way. This is not specific to him. Is that any first-year general manager, it's that they have earned the benefit of the doubt to, like, let their process run its course a little bit, right? And I feel comfortable saying this, that, like, you will 100% see a disciplined Ryan Poles in almost everything that he does. And he is a draft and draft and draft some more type of guy. And I think if you just look at the historical trends of the draft, get it that these are not going to apply every year to every team. But speaking very generally, the more that you can go by value in the early rounds of the draft, the better served you are. I thought the Bears did that. Is that Kyler Gordon and, you know, I mean, I know that there were some other players that you mentioned, John Metchie, et cetera. Like, was cornerback the same level of need as wide receiver? We can debate that. Mm-hmm. But if you have Kyler Gordon ranked higher on your board than John Metchie or Sky Moore, as an example, you have to follow your board.
Yeah.
You have to. And then the other historical trend of the draft that I think has been borne out many times over is that at a certain point, the draft goes from calculated to basically guesswork. And I would argue that that is where we have day three of the NFL draft now. Maybe I would make the case it's more like rounds 5 through 7, right? As a round 4, there's a pretty decent track record of finding guys that contribute sooner rather than later. And as you mentioned, Ryan Poles and the front office parlayed just a couple of picks on day 3 into like 7 or 8, right? Yeah. Like all of a sudden it was like they had every pick in the 6th and 7th round. And the difference between, like, let's say the 150th best player and the 190th best player is far narrower than the gap between the 1st and the 40th best player on the board. It just is. And that over time has been proven out. So I was okay with the process there. So I would say I advocate for the process in this case. So I'm at least, I mean, I think we're at least a season away from having any sort of or deciding how this looks, you know, so far. Like, I just think that's fair to any general manager, and Ryan fits under that umbrella.
Working under the assumption that the Bears will be the 3rd best team in their own division, when they get to the trade deadline, do you think there might be some value there for Quinn if he's doing what he did last year?
I would think so.
But there's a line that you have to sort of toe when you're a new regime, right? Is that Robert Quinn's not a dummy. He knows that this team is not on the same caliber of, or at the same caliber of teams around the NFC, like the Packers or, you know, the Bucs or maybe the Saints, the Rams. Like, he knows this is not one of the top 3 to 5 teams. You can't fool the locker room in that regard. But at the same time, like, you need to establish a culture. And I know that people hate that word, and I get why, because sometimes it's just sort of a way to mask doing exactly what you want to do. But you got to work hard right now if you're the front office and the coaching staff to this is a guy that's been around for a long time. Like, Robert Quinn's been there, done that. He has played for several different teams and more coaches. Like, he probably doesn't have a ton of interest in another year of change. I should say, like, you know, a lot of guys probably don't love, at that stage of their career, would probably prefer to either be playing in really important games where you're winning a ton or kind of sticking with the same thing that they've been in for the past few years, especially when you're coming off of an incredible year like Robert Quinn is. So if I'm Matt Eberflus and the staff on defense specifically, like, you're working hard in this relationship with Robert Quinn, that if sort of the threat of him just being traded overnight is looming, just like a little bit of an interesting spot there. So do I think you have to do what's best for the franchise? And if you're 3 and 5 at the trade deadline and someone offers you a 3rd round pick for Robert Quinn, I think you probably have to think long and hard about it. That being said, if there's no offer available and you're 5 and 3 or something like that, then maybe you have to consider holding on to a player of that caliber. But certainly when you look at the Bears roster right now, when you look at his age, his contract, and his production, I would just say, like, if I were a team elsewhere around the league, he would stand out as a guy that makes some sense to potentially target.
Hey, quickly before we let you go, should the Bears be interested in talking to Seattle about a potential DK Metcalf trade?
I think every team should be interested, and the rub is that you're sort of double dipping in terms of compensation.
Yep.
You are A, paying the draft capital to acquire somebody, B, paying that player what is likely at or near the top of the positional market, That being said, I mean, he's, what, 23, 24 years old. He fits basically every team in terms of scheme, and he fits a need, obviously, for the Bears, very much so. But, you know, I would be surprised if he is traded, A, and B, I would be surprised just because, you know, if you're, again, if you're Ryan Poles, you just went through a year of having no first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's a first-round pick. You know, you don't know where that's going to be next year. And you also, like, you know, if you have a tough year and you're trading away like a 7th overall pick or a 10th overall pick for a guy that you're potentially paying $25 million a year on average, like, that's a steep price to pay. So I'd be surprised if he's A, traded, but B, to the Bears.
Hey, we'll see you in a month. Looking forward to it, okay?
All right, guys. Sounds good. Take care.
Thanks, Field. There's Field Yates. Great stuff. They got NFL Live tonight, as he was saying. And he'll be here for Football Fest, brought to you by Hooters at Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. 1 month from today, we'll be there on August 20th. Go to ESPNFootballFest.com to get your tickets. It's Carmen and Yurko coming right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I got all warm and fuzzy there talking to Field. I'm tingly talking football. That was like 15 minutes of football with Field Yates.
I like it.
Woo! Feeling good, Yurko. Camp starts in a week. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll talk a few more things here after 1 o'clock. Some baseball thoughts. Tell you why Abdallah was hooked to the All-Star game. Hey, listen, we gave you some winners, by the way, on this show the last couple days. Abdallah and I gave out Juan Soto for the home run derby. That paid 6-1. Randy Merkin yesterday on the show. Did you follow his advice? He said Byron Buxton to hit a home run. That happened. Plus 525. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you'll take that money.
Five times your money. The NASCAR race is going to happen. It's official. NASCAR is going to come to Chicago next year, next summer, July 1st and 2nd. What a nightmare for traffic this is going to be. I would anticipate the buildup to it, too, because they probably have to repave a lot of those roads. But, all right, they're doing this race. I'm not a racing guy. Yurko really loves NASCAR, but says NASCAR is not conducive, really, for these road courses because the cars are so different.
Yeah, the cars are heavy.
This is a road course that's going to happen through Grant Park and down towards the museum campus. It basically goes from like Balboa to Lakeshore over down around down to Roosevelt Road and then into Columbus and then to Michigan Avenue.
It looks like a figure eight. That's what it looks like.
Exactly.
You know, only there's obviously no intersecting going on there,
exactly,
but it looks
right.
like a figure eight. So, you know,
by Buckingham Fountain.
Right. You know, up Columbus, then over to Michigan and by Ida B. Wells where they got that little, you go up and you come back around that little circular thing,
correct.
That half circle right
yes.
there. Then it stays on Michigan Avenue. Listen, I'm happy that they're trying different things. I've called for a road race here for a long time, but I wanted IRL or Formula One.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the light cars with the wide tires to get out here and zip around and really see some high-performance action. Open wheel racing is what street racing is all about. That's what you want.
Not NASCAR, really?
Not NASCAR. I mean, what kind of horses run in the Kentucky Derby?
Thoroughbreds.
Do you ever see a Clydesdale out running?
I wouldn't.
The race of the Clydesdales. Here we go.
I wouldn't think a Clydesdale could move.
The point is, let's get the calendars out, right. All right? What do Clydesdales do? They move the wagon full of beer.
Wagon.
That's
yeah.
what they do because they've got that kind of power.
They look good at Christmas.
Watching NASCAR on a street race in the city of Chicago?
Yeah.
Not as appealing, but it might still be fun. It's an event. Bring some tax dollars to the city revenue to the city. That's fine. I don't have an issue about that. I just don't think it's as sexy of an event as one could have here in the city.
Well, by doing this, do they try it out? Do they try to get an open wheel race then? Will the city say, okay, it worked. We've got the course for you.
I don't know why you wouldn't put it up there.
Yeah,
but the open wheel guys might want a different race track. You know, they might want something else. They might want to utilize the museum campus and the roads that they have there. More turns.
Different things,
maybe a longer straight, that kind of stuff.
What would you anticipate the top speed being in any of these straights?
Yeah, it's listed at 120, and that's really all you can get through after you're basically going through a turn. You got to complete the turn, you got to straighten the car, and then you got to go through the gears.
Hmm.
So 120 is the most they're going to be able
to
do.
It's not that fast. I mean, geez, you've done 120 down. I've seen Yurko do 120 down Columbus. What do I got to see a NASCAR to it?
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's a fun festive event. People be here. There'll be a lot of people. You know, You know, a lot of colorful cars. You know, all your drivers will be here.
All right.
I, you know, I don't know. I still don't know where they're putting the pits. I haven't seen that configuration.
I haven't seen the configuration.
Where your pits at?
Well, it looks like on Columbus by the fountain, right? Mm. Wouldn't that be where it is? Because isn't that where it's like this?
It would say pits. You know? That's why I don't see it.
Oh, I don't know. You see the starting line, right? I see the starting line. I just assumed that it would be. Aren't the pits somewhere by the starting and finish line?
Well, they in the past, yeah, but they've got their own row, their own area. They could be on the left-hand side or the right-hand side.
That's what I'm wondering, if they're by Columbus, if they're by the fountain on Columbus, and then it goes to Balboa, yeah, and so it turns to the lake?
See the green? The pit road is on Columbus right there.
Okay.
In front of all the fans,
then
where the fans will
be. East on Balboa to Lakeshore Drive, you go...
You're going south on Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, you go south on Lakeshore.
Then you go into the turn.
Roosevelt.
Like you're going past the museum. Then it goes west on Roosevelt for that little stretch.
And then back north on Columbus.
Back north on Columbus. Left on Balbo. And then right on Michigan. And then boom, boom. It's 2.2 miles is what they say.
2.2 miles is the loop. Yeah. This is they utilize part of this for the marathon and the triathlon that Chicago does. They utilize part
NASCAR
of that.
NASCAR has done some things. They tried to run that race inside of the Coliseum.
It was ridiculous.
Dumbest thing I've ever seen. Stupid. They thought it was cute. No, look at us. We're in Los Angeles. Stupid. NASCAR has been making a lot of stupid decisions over the course of time. The dirt race at Bristol. Listen, Bristol is a fantastic racetrack in Tennessee. Fantastic racetrack. You don't need to cover it in dirt to have that race be a fantastic race. Mm. You know what they did?
They covered their best short track race of the year in dirt.
They covered in dirt, and guys can't see.
What?
Because the dirt's getting kicked up.
Ridiculous.
Nobody can see. It's dusty. If you're there watching, you're filthy like a pig.
Oh, God.
The dumbest things in the world is what NASCAR's doing now.
It sounds awful.
Just stupid people.
When we come back.
Stupid people running NASCAR.
We'll talk some more Bears.
It's not a personal shot. That's a fact.
Bears offseason. MLB All-Star festivities last night. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, we'll be back in just 2 minutes.